Okay, so that's with bacon, cheese, lettuce, tomato, grilled onions, ketchup, and hold the pickles.
You know what you like. You wouldn't order your burger just any way. Why should your sports talk be any different? With Chapters on the free Odyssey app, you can choose the topics that matter to you most. Whether it's reactions, matchup previews, injury updates, or team news, quickly find what you really care about. Your football talk, your way. Download the free Odyssey app and start listening today.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
And we're coming to you live for the Build 4 Tough Studio. Boomer Esiason, Greg Giannotti. It's Boomer and Geo on the Fan, simulcast across the country on CBS Sports Network. And wherever you are on the free Odyssey app, good Monday morning. Not the greatest wild card weekend so far. Of course, we got one more game tonight with the Vikings and the Rams, but some bad football. It just was some non-competitive football until last night. You got a little bit of an exciting game, and I wonder, does it have to do with the fact that we've got a longer schedule now and everybody plays Thursday night games and there's so many games overseas where you get to this point in the season and some of these playoff games just aren't what we remember? Well, we'll see what happens at divisional playoff weekend, because there is at least one matchup there that people cannot wait to see, and that's going to be the Ravens traveling to Buffalo. Good morning, Boomer. How are you?
Yeah, good morning, Jay. I'm doing well. You know, last year, the wild card round wasn't great either. There was only one really decent game last year as well. And, I mean, I kind of feel like that's the trend, and wait till they go to 18 games. And they move this thing all the way until President's Day, when the Super Bowl is going to be played off.
Yeah, it's definitely happening, right?
I feel like it's on its way there. I mean, the NFL Players Association has got to okay all this stuff, and there'll have to be some financial rewards for the players for sure, but it feels like it's heading that way. It's just too popular. There's too many people watching, and you know, it's interesting that, and I was glad to see this, because, you know, as a former CBS employee and current CBS Sports Network employee, I was hoping that the CBS would get the Baltimore-Buffalo game, which they do have next Sunday at 6:30, which is going to be an enormous audience.
Yep.
Because that's what everybody's looking forward to. And I would think that the divisional round games are going to tend to be a little bit closer, more competitive, like they normally are. I want to say it was either 3 or 4 years ago in the divisional round, I thought it was the greatest weekend of football that we had had in the NFL in a long, long time.
And that was
time.
Only the Chiefs and the Bills with the Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes back and forth,
right,
that weekend.
Yeah, it was unbelievable. And so there's hope that there's going to be great games this week. And it will be interesting with the Commanders going to the Lions, and then your team, if they win tonight, or the Rams, if they win tonight, going to the Eagles, with Jalen Hurts a little bit shaky yesterday. But, you know, they're a good enough team to camouflage all the passing game shortcomings at the moment, which is good. And hopefully he's got that game under his belt and he'll be better next week. But there are a lot of people that have a lot of answers or questions about their performance or their coaching performance. And I would say that maybe the most disappointing performance had to come from the Chargers.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and all of us were on the Chargers. This is now 2 years in a row I've been duped by this. Now, last year, I should have seen it coming, because the Texans were a good team that entire year. I just, like, fell in love with the Joe Flacco Cleveland Browns and the way their defense was playing, and the Browns got killed 41-14. But, you know, I looked at this game and said, man, the Texans have not played a good football game in a long time. And C.J. Stroud doesn't look the same, and he looked even worse after the Tank Dell injury. And they go down, the Chargers, they kick 2 field goals early, and then that was it. I mean, and I think one of the biggest things that have come out of this weekend as a talking point in the NFL is that Justin Herbert performance, because this guy, we know, has got one of the best arms in the league. He's got some of the most talented, he's one of the more talented quarterbacks in football, and he was awful in this football game against a defense that showed up. You got to give him credit. It was one of the best games that Texans defense played all year. But boy, if you were a Justin Herbert supporter, you've been talking about him being one of the best quarterbacks in football, you came out of this game hanging your head.
Well,
because he stunk.
He did stink, but I will say that they need to add wide receivers to his mix. I mean, they got rid of all those guys and took all the financial salary cap hits and everything else, and he's kind of playing with young players and new players. They'll be better next year. He'll be better next year. But that performance, yes. And then the first half of the Pittsburgh Steelers performance was just abysmal. And even Kirk Herbstreit actually
Called him out, yeah.
Called him out. So
I was actually surprised to hear this. Like, where is the fight? This is the Pittsburgh Steelers. Like, this team is just, feels like you're laying down. You're coming in to play Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens, and there's absolutely no fight on the sideline. It's almost like you're just, you know, happy to be here. And it was right. I mean, that's just a strange situation there because there's so many organizations in the NFL that would love to have an opportunity every year to play a playoff game. You know, we're sitting here talking about the Jets. The Jets haven't been in the playoffs in forever. It's the longest drought in the NFL. But with the Steelers, you walk into that building, that practice facility there on the south side of Pittsburgh, there's 6 Lombardi trophies when you walk in. And losing in the first round, or not winning a playoff game, rather, in 8 straight seasons doesn't sit well with that fan base.
All you got to do is listen to Steeler Nation. It's just like Patriot Nation. You know, Patriot Nation feels like it's waking up out of a long slumber. You know, they've been hibernating, kind of like Eddie was hibernating out in Wyoming all those weeks.
With the Wolves.
With the Wolves, yes. They've been hibernating, and now all of a sudden Mike Vrabel gets hired, and the Patriot Nation is activated. And you, just like the Jets fans here, the Giants fans here, you know, you can tell and feel whether or not there's momentum with a particular organization or not. And I kind of feel like most Steeler fans, and this is just what I take from X, and, you know, people on X post everything. It's crazy, but I would say the far majority of Steeler fans are just tired of seeing the same thing over and over and over again. And it's just like a running offense. They can't get a passing game going. They haven't had a passing game since Ben Roethlisberger left. And it's just the same thing over and over and over again. And it is 100% obvious that T.J. Watt was playing injured. Like, he just wasn't the player that he always is and wasn't nearly as effective. So I don't think the Steelers are doing anything with Mike Tomlin. I think, once again, they'll look at the quarterback position and they'll try to figure out what are they going to do moving forward. And, you know, they caught a break when Ben Roethlisberger fell to them way back when in the Eli Manning and Phillip Rivers draft.
2004?
And it was in a, you know, sometimes you got to catch a break, and sometimes you already have the break waiting for you, like Mike Vrabel has Drake May and Joe Milton, for that matter, waiting for him when he takes over the Patriots today. So it's if you don't have that guy, you don't have that playmaking quarterback like Jaden Daniels, or you saw Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen both give you MVP performances. That's why we're all excited for next week on CBS at 6:30. So, and I can't wait to see what the what the Chiefs have for the Texans and see whether this Texans defense can slow down a Kansas City offense that had been on the uptick here for the last part of the season.
Yeah, I think the only way that you don't see Mike Tomlin coaching the Steelers next year is if he decides, hey, I think it's time here for a new voice and I want to go somewhere else. Because, you know, they just don't fire coaches there in Pittsburgh, and they've had that formula. It has worked for the most part. Now, if Mike Tomlin says, hey, man, like I think that my voice here has become stale, and I think I need a different situation, and let's figure this out. But I don't think he's going to do that either. I mean, I think that there's just such a bond there between him and the Rooneys and that team, and they're thinking, man, if we get rid of him and replace him with somebody else, I mean, what the hell are we going to do? I mean, we're going to let this guy walk out the door. He never has had a losing season. That's crazy.
Like, who's the guy? Guys, I saw, maybe it was Adam Schefter or somebody on the, I don't know. There was so many talking heads this week. Somebody had mentioned maybe a trade for Mike McCarthy.
Oh, yeah. It was
Jimmy Johnson. That was Jimmy Johnson.
Jimmy Johnson wanted them. Yeah, it was on the show sheet. They wanted him to swap coaches. They wanted Mike McCarthy to go to the Steelers and Mike Tomlin to go to the Cowboys.
All right. Well, you know, kind of like Jimmy Johnson, it kind of makes some sense, but maybe he's just tweaking Jerry Jones. Who knows?
And I got lots of Steelers fans in my life, and they're all fed up, every single one of them.
It's kind of like the Giant fans in my life, yeah. Like the Jet fans in our lives.
Yeah, but it's just a totally different situation because the Steelers actually, you know, they win games and they get to the playoffs, but they're fed up. They're done. I mean, they didn't even feel like they had a shot in this game. Our buddy Craig Currier texted me.
Yes, exactly.
He goes, what'd your wife think of the game? I'm stuck with all these angry Steeler fans all over the place in my life.
Well, especially with the way that, and look, I'm just saying everything that I think everybody else saw, but I was glad that Kirk Herbstreit actually said it, that there was really no fight. It didn't look like they looked leaderless. And they had a 4th and an inch.
Oh, man.
And they're playing in Baltimore. I mean, if you are a believer in your team and you want to give them an opportunity to show whether or not you can win the game or lose the game, I mean, you got to go for it. I mean, and you know, it was just really, really interesting the way that, like, Collinsworth was talking about Dan Quinn last night, the head coach for the Commanders, and how he was approaching the game. And Dan Quinn said, look, man, Tampa Bay is a possession-oriented team, and if they hold on to the ball and keep it away from us, then, you know, I can't play the game that way. I got to be thinking aggressive. I got to be thinking how many times we're going to get the ball. And really what turned out last night is that Tampa Bay only ran 44 plays. And that's the coach of the Washington Commanders thinking ahead before the game started. And I love that Chris went into that because so many coaches don't do that. And that's obviously why Dan was hired for a second time here with the Commanders. But, like, how does Mike Tomlin not think about who they're playing against, the most explosive offensive player in football, and you're not going to go for it on a fourth and an inch, and you're on the road, and a lot of people don't think you're going to win anyway. By punting in that situation, it's almost like you told your team, we ain't winning anyway.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I was floored when that happened, especially, I mean, this day and age with NFL head coaches, I think, you know, 31 out of 32 would have gone for it in that situation, and Mike Tomlin was the only one who didn't.
Well, maybe it's because he's been there a long time. I don't know. Maybe he feels like, you know, let's play it safe. I mean, let's play the percentages. And maybe the percentages were like 52 to 48 or something in favor of, you know, punting it. I don't know. But it just, there's an emotional aspect to every football game that you have to play into. And again, I just go back to Chris's explanation at the beginning of the game last night about Dan Quinn, the Commander's head coach, and how he was thinking about coming into this game. And I always tell you that, you know, for every coach, depending on who you're playing, where you're playing, how the game is playing out, you know, that will determine your decision-making maybe later on in the game. But going into the game, you already have a preconceived notion of how you think you want to play this game out simply because of your opponent. And if your opponent is like the number one offense in football and you got a quarterback that's running all over the place, you got a running back that is going to, you know, steamroll your team, you got to do something to keep those guys off the field, which is what Dan Quinn said about Tampa Bay last night. And they executed it from Washington, and Pittsburgh did not maybe think that way going into the game. So therefore, they end up getting steamrolled.
Yeah, I mean, we talked so many times about rookie quarterbacks coming in and maybe starting when they shouldn't start, and then it's ruining them, and then coaches get fired, and we've seen so many of those situations. It's the exact opposite with Jaden Daniels and the Commanders. I mean, this guy brought an organization back from the dead. Of course, you got to give credit to Cliff Kingsbury and Dan Quinn and the new ownership group, but I mean, it's really all about the energy that Jaden Daniels has provided, and the fact that a rookie has come back as much as he has in the fourth quarter to win games is just so impressive. So, I mean, that's what the Giants and the Jets need, is that right there. And I know it's easy to say and harder to do, but there's an example, especially for the Giants, right there in your division. I mean, the Giants own the Commanders. It was the only team that they could actually beat within the division was the Commanders.
Yeah, and under Dan Snyder, the Commanders were dead. They were just a dead franchise, and they couldn't get a new stadium built at all. And now you have a young, exciting, electric player. And guess what? The Commanders are going to get a new stadium within the next 5 years.
Yeah, I mean, they're in the divisionals.
Did you see him getting hit out of bounds? Did you see how he went flying?
Yeah.
Now, I don't know why there wasn't a penalty call there. That was close. But I will say this. That's why he has to put on more weight.
Right. Well, here it is right here. Yeah. Because, I mean, he just... Right, exactly. I mean, that is... But see, he very rarely puts himself in those positions, though.
Yeah.
Like, when watching a ton of him this year because of fantasy stuff, he very rarely is he taking hits like that. And he also is a guy, too, that doesn't... He, like, falls forward when he runs. He doesn't slide. So that's another one of those things where it actually protects himself a little bit better because he, like, dives at the feet of these guys and they're not going for his head. But yeah, he very rarely, but that was jarring to see him just get launched in that situation.
Well, that's put on another 15 pounds. He's going to look great next year. And by the way, I don't know if you felt this way. I felt this way. The first half of the Ravens-Steelers game, I don't necessarily know or remember Lamar Jackson being that fast. He was like shot out of a cannon in this first half against Pittsburgh. And you remember he was saying last week, like, I got to calm myself down.
Yep.
That was anything but a calm Lamar. That was an electrified Lamar. And, you know, his MVP credentials were on display from start to finish. And, yeah, the next Sunday is going to be unbelievable in Buffalo. That is just going to be, that'll be the game of the year at this point. You know, we thought that the Lions-Vikings was going to be the game of the year. The game of the year has to be this one because you got two quarterbacks that are playing their best football of their careers and two, you know, Baltimore killed Buffalo earlier in the season. So this would be a little bit of a revenge spot for the Bills.
Sure.
But I do think if my initial thought is that Baltimore is the bigger, more physical football team. But then again, Josh Allen is Superman.
You got two guys in their prime playing, as you said, the best football of their career. There's no way this game is going to be a dud. This game is going to be a great game. I would be shocked if this game is won by more than 4 points by any one of these teams. After this really kind of tough wild card weekend of watching four of those games that were brutal, that's what you're thinking of is next week. And hopefully tonight is an interesting game and a fun game. So then you end on two good games because you had last night with the Commanders and the Buccaneers was a good one. Maybe you get a good one tonight, but I think everybody's salivating. Plus, you got two matchups next week that, you know, they're more than a touchdown favorite. We're with the Lions and the Commanders and then the Texans and the Chiefs. So, I mean, I don't think many people believe that the Chiefs are going to lose or the Lions are going to lose. So that game is really going to be the one that everybody's going to be focused on. And then we'll see who ends up going to Philadelphia. And Philadelphia, by the way, I think they're a hell of a lot better than the way they played yesterday.
Well, Jalen Hurts is not right. I mean, he just doesn't look right. He's coming off of a 2.5 game or missing two games, I guess it is, due to a concussion. You know, he was dirting some balls yesterday, which, you know, it was a little disconcerting. And A.J. Brown only had one reception.
Yeah, and he was reading a book on the sideline.
Well, I guess he's done this for a while.
That's what he said, but I mean, I don't... you're telling me this is the first time that was ever caught is this week in a playoff game? I mean, I'm sure he's read it in the locker room or whatever, but someone would have caught that on the sidelines. We're sitting there reading a book.
Do you think he brought it? So was this in the second half last night when they showed this?
Yes, I think so. It was. Yeah.
So maybe, you know, he was a little disgusted, and then he brought the book out with him after halftime and said, "I'm going to bring a book out. If they're not going to use me, I might as well read a book." I mean, you never know with these guys. Now he basically said, "Oh, you guys caught me." I'm like, yeah. That is so obvious,
right?
That how could a broadcast not see that?
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. I mean, and we did an Eagles Giants game this year, and I was on that sideline the entire time, and I was watching all the star players. Never once did I see AJ Brown sit down with a book.
And you would have seen it.
Of course.
Sure, yes.
I mean, at all these Eagles games that are on and the big national TV games and the, you know, the standalone games that they have, you're telling me not once they've caught him with this book? He says he does it all the time. There was definitely a message. And plus, we know that Jalen Hurts and him have had issues in the past as well.
Which when you think about all the things that have been said about those two guys over the last 2 months.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, here's an NFL football player. And I'm not saying guys don't read books. They read books. Of course they do. But pulling out a book, I mean, I've seen everything. I have seen everything. I have never seen that. Like, every year there's something, whether it be Antonio Brown stripping down naked and walking off the field.
Sure.
To a wide receiver reading a book on the side.
If that was one of your guys back in the day in a playoff game and you saw that,
I don't know what I'd say to it. I'm like, what are you doing? I'm like, you know, let's look at the coverages. You know, back in the day, we only had those printed out video
right.
pictures.
Yeah, and this was it's like a motivational book is what it was. So it's not like he was sitting there reading Moby Dick. I mean, it was not that it really matters. He's still reading a book, but it's like some sort of motivational book to get him going. So it looked like he'd read it before. It was weathered, but that was 100% him sending a message, just like you said. Hey, you're not going to throw the ball to me. You're going to target me one time, two times in a game. I'm going to sit here. I'm going to read.
I'm going to bring my book out that I have in my bag in the locker room.
Yeah.
And I'm going to sit here and I'm just going to read it just to make sure everybody knows that I'm here. I'm just not being used.
Yeah, like next week he's going to bring out an easel and a canvas and just start painting something. You know, just keep it going.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Big weekend of football. Jerry Recco is here to tell us all about it. What's happening, Jerry?
Good morning. Brought to you by Hard Rock Bet. Download the Hard Rock Bet app and roll with us. We're also brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Yes, we had three clunkers, but then we got to last night, so I'll take them later first. And that's the Commanders and the Bucks in Tampa. Here we are. The Bucks had just stopped the Commanders on a fourth down play, got the ball, and Baker Mayfield did this.
First and 10, they're at their own 15-yard line. In motion, Jalen McMillan. It's a fumble, the ball's on the ground! It's out! Does Washington have it? They do!
And so that would lead to a Washington touchdown. The Bucks would then go down and get stopped on second and one and third and one at the 12-yard line, wind up kicking a field goal rather than taking the lead, and then Washington would go down the field. A big third down run by Jaden Daniels gets the first down. They can take the clock all the way down and line up for what would be the game winner.
Zane Gonzalez looking to send Washington into the divisional round. Snap good, hold down, kick on its way. It is good! The Cardiac Commanders are the Clutch Commanders! They do it again! We'll see you in Detroit!
And Zane Gonzalez kicks in the door and kicks us into the second round of the playoffs!
Oh, man, I'll tell you what, and those guys are out of their minds. But why did they describe the kick as it hitting the right upright?
I know. I did think the same thing. I mean, listen, they're very excited. They were waiting to see if it was good. But, I mean, that is, if you're doing the game on the radio, you really got to put that in there.
You got to say the ball hits inside the upright and goes through and the Commanders win or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like,
well, they win. 23-20. Yes. That was Washington radio with
that
the call.
Screaming and yelling.
The best part of the video is London Fletcher, when he says at the end, kicking in the door, he turns to the announcer and like...
is actually kicking, yeah. Yeah.
Very animated and a lot of fun. Commanders continue to win. They went 12-5. Now 13 wins on the season into the postseason, obviously. So many crazy wins. You had the Hail Mary. You had the touchdown at the end with Jaden Daniels a couple of weeks ago in the Eagles game on the fourth down play. I think it was a fourth down play. Here was Dan Quinn. Why does your team seem to win and come up big in the big minutes?
Maybe it's the volume, David, of close games that you've been in. I've been on some teams that were exceptional, but they were maybe not in a lot of close ones. And so when that becomes the norm, I think you live in that moment more often.
Getting those key turnovers, and then, of course, having the electric quarterback that just makes so many different plays.
Who's totally calm in the biggest moments.
And by the way, you know, you got to give Brian Daboll, you got to tip your hat to him, because he was the one in Hard Knocks offseason that said, yeah, Jaden Daniels, yeah, I'll trade for him.
Yep. All those picks, too, because they were talking about a lot to give up. So, yeah, but they weren't, the Commanders weren't moving off of number two, and you know why now.
Here is Daniels, his thoughts on the win postgame.
I don't know. I can't really explain it. Obviously, I'm grateful to have the opportunity. I'm happy for, you know, the fan base, the franchise, everything has been through to get to this point. So I'll just say, I mean, I'm just grateful and happy for everybody, including myself, too.
He threw for 268 and two scores, ran for 36, and, of course, that big first down run that we talked about. On the flip side, Baker Mayfield didn't have the ball a lot. He was 15 of 18 for 185, two touchdowns, and, yes, that huge fumble in the fourth quarter. He says, my bad.
That comes back to me, just timing it up correctly. First one all year that happened on, so obviously timing of it not great, being backed up. Defense had just done a hell of a job getting us the ball. Another fourth down stop, and yeah, unfortunate, but that falls on me.
So their season's over. The Commanders advance. They will play in Detroit on Saturday night. The game prior to that was the game in Philadelphia where the Eagles beat the Packers 22-10. Jalen Hurts threw for 131 yards, but did have touchdown passes to Jahan Dotson and Dallas Goedert. The Goddard one is hilarious with the two-step arms.
Oh, God.
I'd be bad for that corner.
Yeah, I know. I mean, and that was, and then Goddard did the flex in the end zone afterwards. I mean, that's got to be one of the best feelings in the world to do this to a guy and score a touchdown.
Yep.
Oh, man.
Runs over him and then three stiff arms.
Yeah, the way this whole thing starts with the Packers fumbling the kickoff.
Yeah, on a blast of a hit.
I mean, that's the way you want to win a home football game, and you want to start the game just like that.
Here's Nick Sirianni. He knows offensively they didn't do a whole hell of a lot. It wasn't great, but it was good enough, and they are advancing.
We struggled a little bit as an offense, you know, I don't think we had the game that we wanted to have on offense.
But they are moving on. A.J. Brown didn't have the game he wanted to have on offense. You guys talked about the book. Here was a nice detailed explanation from Brown.
That's a book that I bring every single game. And, you know, my teammates call it a recipe. You know, that's the first time I heard that y'all got me on camera. But it's not the first game. You know, it got a lot of points in there. It's a lot of mental game, a lot of mental parts about it. And, you know, what's for me, you know, this game is mental. You know, I physically believe I can do anything and everything, but you know, I got to make sure I'm mentally good. So it's something like how I refresh every drive.
Okay, there you go.
All right, so if he brings a lunchbox in a book next week, you know, it has little snacks in there, maybe right. Has like a bologna sandwich or something.
Yeah,
like
and a that. Guitar.
And a guitar, yeah, that would be perfect. I like your the easel thing. That would be right. Perfect.
Painting,
maybe you could put a jigsaw puzzle together.
Right, painting him actually catching a ball, showing it to Jalen Hurts. Hey, what do you think of this?
Now, that would be funny.
Yeah.
Here was Jordan Love. Not much. Now, Green Bay had a ton of injuries. 20 of 33 for Love, 212, three picks. Why the struggles?
I'm not sure. You know, it's something that we'll look at and figure out in the offseason to clean up. But, yeah, I mean, it's pretty much just comes down to executing and making plays out there. And, just wasn't good enough.
In this game alone, they lost Romeo Doubs, Jaden Reed, Elgin Jenkins, and Josh Myers. And then you had defensive guys that went out of this game as well. It just seemed like every play someone was getting hurt.
And he had his top receiver out.
Yeah,
the whole thing last week.
Philadelphia will be home for the winner of tonight's game between the Vikings and the Rams on Sunday, which we'll get to in a moment. But before we do that, we go to Orchard Park for the Bills and the Broncos. Denver got out to a great start. The 43-yard pass play and touchdown Bo Nix had. And then it was all Buffalo from that point forward.
Allen rolling out to his right, looking for somebody open. Nobody is. Has to throw it to the end zone for Ty Johnson, who makes a sliding catch in the end zone for a touchdown. Well, who would have expected that?
That was some
play, man. And the fact that his feet did not touch out of bounds, you know,
and the official was all over it.
Yeah, he was.
Called it a touchdown. Yeah. Here was Sean McDermott. Boy, that was some play.
On Ty's touchdown, I was going, come on. Good. So the review was important right there, too, I know. Ty's just, he makes plays. And Josh has a lot of trust in him,
That's like the whole J.R. Smith shooting threes, no, yes type of deal. 31-7 was the final score. Allen threw for 272, two scores, also ran for 46 yards. He says we all did the job today.
Ultimately, it's not the X's and O's, it's the Jimmys and Joes, and guys are ready to go. We got our rest, getting able to kind of not play everybody.
Last week in New England is what he's talking about. On the flip side for Denver, good season ends the way it did. Time of possession in this game, Buffalo almost 42 minutes, Denver just over 18 minutes. Total yards, Buffalo 471, Denver 226, and again, half of it came on that one drive or a third of it. Here's Sean Payton. How did Bo Nix do in his first playoff game?
He hung in there, he battled. There's some third downs I'm sure he'll want back, some plays he'll want back. It's pretty tough to play that position when the opponent's rushing the ball the way they are. And you're not having the consistency.
And the first downs, too, to go along with all those stats we told you about. Buffalo, 26 first downs to Denver's 13. And so they advance, really, for what should be the game of the weekend. Buffalo taking on Baltimore Sunday night at 6:30. The Ravens, we know, advanced by just pummeling the Steelers on Saturday. And the score didn't really indicate the game. Here was Mike Tomlin afterwards, after his team lost in Baltimore, a very blunt assessment.
You know, we just weren't good enough, to be quite honest with you. We, you know, a drop here and there and things of that nature, man, when you're playing good people, it really gets highlighted. And we just weren't good enough.
And the quarterback position wasn't great either. What does he plan to do with it going forward?
Take a big picture approach. You know, I'm really assessing what happened today, man. And I'm appreciative of their efforts tonight. But I can say that largely. For the entire season, they're three quality people at the quarterback position, man, and really appreciate what they poured into this.
And reports do say that he will be back next year.
The Steelers are not going to fire him.
No, that would, unless he went to them and said, look, if you want to try to do something with the Cowboys and make a deal like that, then maybe that would happen. But I think that would be unlikely. And he's got two more years left in his contract.
And I hate doing this to you because you got a lot of audio, but the George Pickens question and answer is hilarious.
Have it? I will have to find it.
Oh, that was amazing.
It was so funny. Jerry, I'm sure we'll find it a little bit later. Because he just went from sounding very positive to sounding really negative in a millisecond. It was just so funny.
Tonight, Vikings and Rams to wrap up wild card weekend in the NFL. The Knicks did not play well Friday night. Matter of fact, they played horrifically against the Thunder. But yesterday, came back and just blew up the Bucks, and I mean, played really well.
Brunson looking. Again, he likes his matchup with Green. And hits another three. 5 for 10. He's got 40.
Got the Midas touch going on tonight.
And the Knicks back up by 20.
Yeah, they were up by as much as 27 in this game. Mike Breen, Clyde Frazier on MSG. They win by 24, 140. Oh, no, they won by 34. Holy crap.
Yeah,
140 to 106. Brunson was 16 of 26 shooting, hit a bunch of threes, had 44. And Karl Anthony Towns played angry because they were not calling. I actually watched a lot of this game because the NFL was so awful during the day. They weren't calling fouls against him, and they were like physically assaulting him, and he was pretty damn good. 30 points, 18 rebounds. In terms of Brunson and his 44, he was on MSG afterwards. He's just doing my job.
I mean, whatever it takes to win. And I was reading how things are being played, and kind of got off to a hot start, and we just kept it going from there.
But the interesting thing for them is they're probably right now the fourth best team in the NBA. And they're behind the Celtics. They're behind the Cavaliers, who are both in the Eastern Conference. And obviously, OKC owns them.
Uh-huh.
But that's where they are. Now, they may add a piece at the trade deadline. They're going to get Mitchell Robinson back, assuming everybody else stays healthy. You know, what do they have to do to be able to play on par with Cleveland, Boston in the Eastern Conference, and then, of course, OKC in the Western Conference? And by the way, you know, the other surprise team in the league this year is Houston.
Yeah, and Josh Hart was asked that exact question after Friday night's game, and he gave a really interesting answer. And it's the second time he said that this year, where he said that we got to put our individual agendas aside. Mm. Now, if you say something like that publicly twice, that means that they believe there are guys on the team this year who are putting their stats and themselves above the team and winning. And I don't know who he's talking about, but just keep an eye on that.
Like who would he be talking about? Like, the team only seems like it's a really good team. It seems like they respect each other. They like playing with each other. There hasn't been one iota of discourse that anybody could.
Maybe Mikal Bridges just shooting.
But he doesn't seem like he plays selfish, though, at all.
Yeah, he was so bad that night.
Yeah, no, I know.
I don't know. I don't know who he's talking about, but obviously there's something going on there because he's mentioned it twice.
The Jazz beat the Nets in overtime, 112-111. Multiple choice for you. Who was the leading scorer for the Nets? Would it be A, Jackson Licklider, B, Tosun Awoma, C, Willie Sturgis, or would it be D, Abdullah Shamar?
I'm going to say Awoma.
I'm going to go Licklider.
You guys want to take a guess at this? They're not listening. You are correct. It was Tosun Awoma, who had 22 for the Nets last night. They did lose by a point in overtime, but yeah. Okay, that's how that went. Pacers beat the Cavaliers, notable because the loss snapped Cleveland's 12-game winning streak. Lakers and Clippers expected to resume their home schedules tonight. The Lakers play the Spurs while the Clippers take on the Heat, obviously with what's going on out there. And you got Rutgers home for UCLA tonight.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. We know the Jets have interviewed a ton of GM and head coach candidates, but one really caught my eye that I had to ask you about this morning. Mike Locksley, the Maryland football head coach?
Yeah, I don't know what that's all about. I love Locks, and I don't think he's going anywhere. I don't think anybody would want that job if he left in the first place. But unless who's ever coaching at, I don't know, Richmond or Albany or something like that. But that sounds to me like a favor for an agent.
Yeah.
And also, it could be a little bit of maneuvering on Locks's part that maybe he's hearing it from some of the Maryland people or something because they haven't been overly successful. And, he may be saying, hey, look, I'm getting, job offers in the NFL. So, get off my back, that kind of thing. I'm staying here.
I like
here
turtles.
I'm staying here because I want to stay here. I don't know where that came. I had no idea that was happening. So, I don't think that would be a realistic choice for the Jets. But to me, it looks like the Jets are waiting for somebody who's presently working.
Right, and that could be Aaron Glenn. That could be Brian Flores. And also you heard with Mike Vrabel taking the Patriots job that the Jets had made one last-ditch effort to get him to maybe be the Jets head coach. I know that we laugh at it because he was going to be with the Patriots no matter what. That's his team. That's where he wanted to be. Knows Robert Kraft very well. But I do like the fact that the Jets were aggressive there because that's the type of guy that I want to be the head coach of the Jets. So even though it was an exercise in futility, the fact that they identified him, they wanted a guy like that, is at least a step in the right direction.
You know, it's kind of interesting. I think that Robert Kraft would have hired him last year, but I think it sounds to me like he was totally committed to Gerard Mayo replacing Bill Belichick. And you never want to be the guy replacing the guy. You want to be the guy after the guy replacing the guy. So Mike Vrabel steps into a huge, huge winning potentially situation because of the amount of money that they have for free agency to spend, and also the fact that they have two young quarterbacks on their roster, both Drake May and Joe Milton. So there's a lot to be happy if you are up there in New England. But I also will say this. I don't know about this Rooney Rule thing anymore. Because, you know, Byron Leftwich and Pep Hamilton had no shot of being the head coach of the New England Patriots. It was a futile exercise and a sham, and these were sham interviews. We all know it. And I just think, like, it's just embarrassing. And unless the black coaches, the minority coaches all band together and say, we're not doing this anymore. You know, we're not taking interviews where we know we have no chance or no possible chance.
Okay, so
and I have often talked about this because we say, you know, if an interview's there, go get the interview, just to go through the process. But, you know, could you imagine interviewing for a job where you know the guy across the desk from you who was interviewing you didn't really want you? Like, what the hell? Why are you even showing up?
Yeah, I mean, you could look at it that way, or you could, and then if you get rid of the Rooney Rule situation, then all of a sudden some of these guys won't even get calls.
Yeah,
the other side of it.
Aaron Glenn turned down the Patriots opportunity.
Sure.
You know why? Because he knew Mike Vrabel was going there.
Mm-hmm.
So why am I wasting my time? And, you know, and Aaron's in a little bit more of a power position than maybe Byron Leftwich and Pep Hamilton who are trying to get back into the NFL. But I just think it just puts everybody in a crappy position. Believe you me, I mean, like, every owner in the NFL wants the most qualified person to become the head coach of their football team. If there were 31 other Mike Tomlins, they all would be hired. You know, if there were 31 other Andy Reids, they would all be hired. You know what I mean? I mean, like, it just looks bad on everybody's part, and I guess, you know, everybody's okay with it. They just kind of move on with it. There's really no reason to fine the Patriots. They did, to the letter of the law, what they were expected to do.
Yeah, I mean, I think that there's still some positive that comes out of it, believe it or not. And I'll play a little bit of its devil's advocate because I can't defend this situation with Vrabel and the sham interviews. But, you know, you could get a guy who goes in there who's not expected to get the job. You know, interviews great, then all of a sudden the NFL being the fraternity that it is and is incestuous, the word gets out, hey, you should talk to this guy. We weren't going to hire him, but get him in there.
They all know.
That they're not getting the job, but that doesn't mean that you can't get something positive out of interviewing, getting in front of these owners, which a lot of guys weren't getting that opportunity prior to that.
But I'm also saying that, you know, the league itself is giving out all these candidates. You know, they're giving out the minority candidates, they're giving out the white candidates. You know, everybody knows. And look, this is a perfect fit for New England. So why even go through the whole exercise of it? And I was saying, like, you know, Rob Kraft would have the norovirus for 5 straight years if Mike Vrabel were wearing jet green. There's no way that's happening.
Yeah.
The moment the Jets got involved and, you know, like, again, the Jets are being played. And how, like, clueless are the Jets to think that they're going to get Mike Vrabel over the Patriots, especially given the sense of where the Patriots are as they are building and building and building. And now coming out of this, you know, this slumber that they've been in the last 5 years.